ते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयत् नास्तप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमाश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. Before reciting, we can say this together. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental song, is established as an irrevocable fact. Hare Krishna. How auspicious can you get, right? So we're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 64, which is entitled Deliverance of King Nriga. Nriga, and we're on text 26 through 28. This is, we'll chant the first verse responsibly. Svatam katam, no. Svatam katam mama vibhokshi pata paratma. Svatam katam mama vibhokshi pata paratma. Yogeshvarai Shruti Drishatma Lahrid Vibhavya. Yogeshvarai Shruti Drishatma Lahrid Vibhavya. Sakshat Adhoksa Jauru Vyasananda Budhe. Sakshat Adhoksa Jauru Vyasananda Budhe. Syanme Nudrishya Iha Yasya Bhava Pavarga. Syanme Nudrishya Iha Yasya Bhava Pavarga. Satam katam mama vibhokshi patan paratma. Yogeshvarai Shruti Drisha Mala Hrid Vibhavya. Sakshad Adhoksa Jauru Vyasananda Budhe. Janme Nudrishya Iha Yasya Bhava Pavarga.
Janme
Yogeshvara Shruti Trishamala Hridvi Bhavya. Sakshat Adhokshaja Uruvyasananda Bhute. San me nu drishya iha yasya pavarka parya. Satam katam mama vibhoti pata paratma. Satam katam mama vibhokshi patan paratma. Yogeshvara shruti drishamala hrit vibhavya. Ladies, Svatam katam mama vibhokshi pata paratma. Yogeshvara shruti drishamala hrid vibhavya. Sakshat adhoksaja uruvyasaranda bhute. Janme nudrishya iha yasya pava pavarga. Satam katam mama vibhokshi pata paratma. Yogeshvara shruti drishamala hrid vibhavya. Sakshat adhoksaja uruvyasananda bhute. Syanme nudrishya iha yasya pavar pavarga saha. He, Tom, yourself. Katam, how, mama, to me, vibho, O Almighty One, akshipata, visible, para atma, the Supreme Soul, yoga, of mystic yoga, Ishvarai, by masters, shruti, of the scriptures, drisha, by the eye, Amala, spotless, Trit, within their hearts, Vibhavya, to be meditated upon, Sakshat, directly visible, Adhoksaja, O Transcendental Lord, who cannot be seen by material senses, Uru, severe, Vyasana, by troubles, Andha, blinded, Budhe, whose intelligence, Syat, it may be, Me, for me, Anudrishya, to be perceived, Iha, in this world, Yasya, whose, Bhava, of material life, apavarga, cessation. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. This is King Nriga speaking, as you recall very well, I'm sure. that King Riga has returned to his, he's not a lizard anymore. Now he's been, he's a beautiful, effulgent, spiritually powerful, demigod-like body, and he's speaking to the Lord, offering his prayers. And today he says, O Almighty One, how is it that my eyes see you here before me? You are the Supreme Soul, whom the greatest masters of mystic yoga can meditate upon within their pure hearts only by employing the spiritual eye of the Vedas. Then how, O Transcendental Lord, are you directly visible to me, since my intelligence has been blinded by the severe tribulations of material life? Only one who has finished this, his material entanglement in this world should be able to see you. And the purport? Even in the body of a lizard, King Riga could remember his previous life. And now that he had the opportunity to see the Lord, he could understand that he had received special mercy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very important realization for King Riga. So we also have 27 and 28, so we can chant those together right now. Very beautiful prayers, glorifying the Lord's name. Deva Deva Jagannatha Govinda Purushottama Narayana Rishikesha Punya Slok Achyutavyaya Anujani Himam Krishna Yatam Deva Gatim Prabho Yatra Kvapi Shatascheto Bhuyame Tat Padaspadam. The translation is, O Deva Deva, Jagannath, Govinda, Purushottam, Narayan, Hrishikesh, Punyashloka, Achyuta, Avaya, O Krishna, please permit me to depart for the world of the demigods. Wherever I live, O Master, may my mind always take shelter of your feet. Let's repeat that one. Together, we can do it together. O Deva Deva, Jagannath, Govinda, Purushottam, Narayan, Hrishikesh, Punyashloka, Achyuta, Advaya, O Krishna, please permit me to depart for the world of the demigods. Wherever I live, O Master, may my mind always take shelter at your feet. The purport is, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti comments as follows on this verse. His faith emboldened upon receiving the Lord's mercy and thus attaining the status of servitude, King Riga properly glorifies the Lord by chanting his names and then asks the Lord's permission to take his leave. The spirit of his prayer is as follows. You are Deva Deva, God of even the gods, and Jagannath, the master of the universe, so please be my master. O Govinda, please make me your property with the same merciful glance you use to enchant the cows. You can do this because you are Purushottam, the supreme form of Godhead. O Narayan, since you are the foundation of the living entities, please be my support, even though I am a bad living entity. O Hrishikesh, please make my senses your own. O Punyashloka, now you have become famous as the deliverer of Nriga. O Achyuta, please never be lost to my mind. O Advaya, you will never diminish in my mind. Thus, the great Bhagavatam commentator, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti, explains the purport of these verses. Om Aginati Mirandasya Janandana Sarakaya Chakso Umiritam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Eternally indebted to his lotus feet and beg always for service to those lotus, transcendental lotus feet. Hare Krishna. So I always like to read from the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada's, how Prabhupada put these verses into his prose form in the Krishna book. So Here's what he says. This is obviously the story of King Rigger. Having attained the body of a demigod, King Rigger continued to remember everything and said, "My dear Lord, you are the supreme Lord and are worshipped by all the demigods. You are not one of the living entities, but you are the supreme person, Purushottama. You are the source of all happiness to all living entities. Therefore, you are known as Govinda. You are the Lord of all those living entities who have accepted a material body and of those who have not yet accepted a material body." And Srila Prabhupada puts in parentheses there, "Among the living entities who have not accepted a material body are those who are hovering in the material world as evil spirits or living in ghostly atmosphere. However, those who live in the spiritual kingdom, the Vaikuntha Lokas, have bodies that are not made of material elements." Then continue. "You are my Lord, infallible. You are the supreme, the purest of all living entities. You are living in everyone's heart. You are the shelter of all living entities, Narayan. Being seated in the heart of all living entities, you are the supreme director of everyone's sensual activities. Therefore, you are called Hrishikesh." And I just... And I'm going to just read the next paragraph. "My dear Supreme Lord, because you have given me this body of a demigod, I will have to go to some heavenly planet. So I am taking this opportunity to beg for your mercy, that I may have the benediction of never forgetting your lotus feet, no matter which form of life or planet I may be transferred. You are all-pervading, present everywhere as the cause and effect. You are the cause of all causes, and your potency and power are unlimited. You are the Almighty, you are the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Supreme Brahman. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances to you again and again." And it continues to go on, obviously. There's more to this chapter. But I always really appreciate how Srila Prabhupada stays so true to the verses as he's translating, and yet adding significant or insightful pieces of information for us to understand. So on these three prayers that are offered by King Rigger, we can get a little bit of a glimpse into King Nriga's fortunate position, how he's been blessed. It was explained in the previous purports how he was blessed by a devotee. He was blessed by a devotee, even though he had been executing so perfectly all the injunctions of the Karmakandya process for elevation to heavenly planets. Even though he had been executing that so perfectly, at one particular point when there was, a devotee had come and asked for some charity to build a temple, because he had a beautiful deity of Govinda, and also he wanted to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and King Nriga facilitated that so nicely for the devotee, that the devotee blessed him, "May you have the direct darshan of Krishna." And that was King Nriga's key, that key moment in his life that got him unlocked from that chains, the chains of the Karmakanda process. Because by executing those fruitive activities, then he's bound to accept the results, bound for so many years to accept the pious results and still be what? Entrapped in material existence. So he's chained. He's chained to the results of his pious activities. So Srimad Bhagavatam, this particular part of the Bhagavatam is giving us instruction by inference. It's inferring that this karma, and in many places it will directly state, but it's inferring how this karmakanda process is not the way for perfection. It's not the recommended means of perfection. It's there in the Vedas to elevate personalities to come to accept a higher authority of the Vedas and regulations, etc., etc. But actually the whole purpose is to purify the intelligence to the point where they realize there's nothing attractive about this material world. even in the quote-unquote best situation. It's all entangling, and it doesn't equal even a drop of the pleasure of what? Of service to the Supreme Lord. It doesn't even equal a drop of the pleasure of becoming a servant of the Lord. So the pretext of the curse it wasn't really a curse. Well, I guess it was a curse. So the Brahmins being dissatisfied with the cow that had wandered back and was given away twice, which is a great offense, what to speak of the fact that it was a Brahmin's property to begin with. Anyway, given away twice, their pretext of being dissatisfied, that was a great benediction. So things aren't always what they seem to be. They're not always what they seem to be on a quick glance. That's why we need to see, and that's why King Riga is saying that how can one see you? One can only see you, Lord, through the eyes of the Vedas, through the eyes of the Mahatmas. So they're revealing the Lord. So what appears in the beginning to be unfair, we were talking, that was discussed yesterday in the previous classes, it seems a little bit unfair that even though he had been doing such nice things, that these Brahmins overreacted in such a severe, unbrahminical way. But actually, it was great mercy. It was great mercy because it brought him to the point of direct darshan of the Lord. But this is not the end of King Nriga's story. We'll get to that in a little bit. Hopefully, I won't. Can you remind me to come back to that point? But what I wanted to talk about first was how King Riga got that mercy from the devotee who said, may you have the direct darshan of the Lord. In the Nectar of Devotion, it's explained that one can't come to the ecstatic platform. Or there's two possible ways that one can come to the ecstatic platform of love of Godhead. And that is through the process that we're familiar with, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, by executing the regulative principles of the rules and regulations of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, then gradually the heart becomes purified and one's elevated to the states of bhava and prema. But also it says that there, this is in chapter 17 of Nectar of Devotion, that there's another way that one can be elevated to this state of bhava. But it might appear that that person didn't undergo any sadhana practice. They didn't have any previous qualifications. They're elevated by the grace of a devotee. And that grace of the devotee, Prabhupada further explains, or Srila Rupa Goswami further divides it, by the glance of the devotee, by the well wishes, and by the mercy of devotee. Three ways that one can get that special mercy: by the glance of the devotee, by the well wishes, and by in the heart. Thank you. In the heart. Krishna in the heart. To be elevated like that, the Prabhupada gives the example, it's kind of like getting an honorary degree. It happens. People get honorary degrees from some big prestigious college, but not for nothing. They have to have done something. Just like Martin Luther King, he got an honorary degree for all his work. I don't remember which college it was, but it was some prestigious one. He got an honorary degree from some prestigious university in the United States for all his hard work that he had done to help the African Americans come to a more just, equal platform of living in the United States. So he did so much work, so much endeavor on his part, he got an honorary degree. But if one thinks that, so much work, I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to wait for that honorary degree to be bestowed upon me. You might be waiting for a good long time because it doesn't usually happen that way. But sometimes it does. Sometimes there's... So the recommended process for making advancement is to follow the principles of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, and then gradually one will come to it. But here, King Riga, he got this honorary degree. But of course, his credits, more or less, were his charitable nature in his execution of the Karmakanda section, but he got this degree, and he was now present before the Lord, and he's seeing what struck me is he's saying, how is it that I can see you? So many people in the course of Krishna's activities, so many people got the opportunity to see Krishna, but depending on their level of consciousness was how they actually could see him. And what I mean to say is that, like, for example, Kaliya saw Krishna. So when Krishna entered the lake, it's described when Krishna adjusted his dhoti and tightened his belt and tucked his hair under his turban or whatever. It's described that when he jumped into Kaliya Lake, he was so beautiful. He was so beautiful. And not only that, he exhibited such beauty, but he also exhibited the ability to make musical melodies with the way he was moving and splashing the water. It was making a very melodious sound. But Kaliya, because at that particular point he was covered with all his poisonous envy, he didn't see that or perceive it like that at all. He saw Krishna as an intruder, and he could understand that by the way he was acting, he was actually challenging him to his very core of existence. He couldn't see. And even so, then he came to challenge Krishna, came to bite him and wrap him in his coils. He still couldn't see Krishna as the Supreme Person. He was there seeing him, interacting him, even touching him, but he still couldn't appreciate him as the Supreme. Because why? The contamination was still there. And then so as the Leela progresses and Krishna jumps on his hoods and dances on his hoods and he's just dancing. He's just a young boy dancing with delicate steps on this moving platform. But Kali is feeling each step to be a great smashing, blowing, painful experience for Kaliya, because again, he's so full of contamination, envy, and so many things that he can't appreciate the mercy that he's being given. And even to the point that he's 99.9% dead, he's got hardly any strength or vitality left. At one point, he gets a little bit of surge of energy, and what does he do? Offer prayers to Krishna? Nope. At this particular point, he uses that little surge of energy to try to bite him one more time, and Krishna very expertly jumps on that head, and then he's practically... But at that particular point, Krishna, perhaps within his heart, that I don't know if I'm just saying that, huh? Enlightens him a little bit. Opens up his vision, drishta. He actually, perhaps this is the person whom my wise were glorifying him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is that same person. And he began to get transcendental knowledge revealed within the heart. And so his vision changed, even to the point that previously, even there was poison and contamination coming out his eyes. It was coming out his mouth in the form of blood and vomit and everything, but it even was coming out of his eyes. So this particular personality had accumulated a lot of stuff. It was coming out of his eyes. So, but then Krishna allows him to see, and he gets the opportunity to see, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom my dear wives have been glorifying. I'm so grateful for them. To them, because they glorified the Lord. And I kind of liked to hear it. He liked to hear it, but he couldn't accept it. So that's just one example of a person seeing Krishna, but due to the vision, at one point, really can't see them. And so many other examples are there. Like, you can go through millions of examples. Dhritarashtra, Duryodhan, so many of them, they saw Krishna, but they didn't see him as who he really was. So even at this particular point, Nriga seeing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but I found it a little curious, and I find it, and it's happened in other stories in the Bhagavatam. He says, Now I see and accept you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please let me go back to my heavenly planet, kingdom. Because at that particular point, his vision, his relationship with the Lord needs to be developed even further. And it will continue to develop further. Srimad Bhagavatam at this particular point doesn't continue to tell us the story of King Mriga's progression, what happens to him after he goes back to the heavenly planets. But don't forget that benediction that he prayed for. What was the benediction that King Mriga prayed for at the end? Do you remember the benediction that he prayed for, Madhumati? Yeah, to always remember. And may you never diminish in my mind. So that benediction, that prayer that he's offering, is never going to be lost. It's always going to increase. And the for example, in Damodar Leela, when Krishna's bound by the rope to the mortar, and then he goes to between the two Yamal Arjun trees, and those two demigods, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, are released from that curse, that birth that they had as trees, and they come out and they offer their prayers to the Supreme Lord, and they pray, may our tongues always be used to glorify you. And probably some other things that I don't remember at this particular point, but they're particularly praying, may we always be able to glorify you. And then they also say, they circumambulate the Lord, and then they go back to their heavenly abode to further enhance and increase their love for the Supreme Lord. So Srimad Bhagavatam, that's all that it tells us about Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. And it wasn't until we had the translation of Gopal Champu, Srila Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu, where he's narrating the story of a bard, a chronicler of in Nanda Maharaj's court, who comes from, he's living now on the seashore, and he comes and he brings his nephews, his sister's sons. She had two sons. And he brings his two sons to Nanda Maharaj's court, and he says, could you give us the blessing that my sons, my nephews, they want to recite for you? And Nanda Maharaj says, oh, have they been trained? And he said, yes, they've been trained very nicely. They can recite very nicely. Please give them the opportunity that they can recite. So they begin to recite Krishna's pastimes in the assembly in Nanda Maharaj's court. And they say so sweetly the pastimes of the Lord that Nanda Maharaj can realize that these two boys, they could understand even the hearts and minds of the people that they're glorifying. So these two boys, they were called Snigdha Kanta and Madhu Kanta. Snigdha, affection-laden voice, and Madhu Kanta, honey-laden voice. So in the course of narrating Krishna's pastimes from his birth to his childhood pastimes, when they get to story of the Arjun trees, Nanda Maharaj says, and then? And then what happened? And he's sitting on the edge of, he's always described as sitting on the edge of his seat, leaning forward. And then? And then what happened? And then at that particular point, after they're narrating how Nala Kuvera and Manigriva are liberated from the form of the trees, Nanda asks, what happened? Then they hung their heads. They didn't say. Because they were Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, who had somehow, whatever arrangement, it's there somewhere, but not in the Gopal Champu, got that arrangement to come now in Krishna Leela and what? Always be glorifying Krishna's pastime. So this is my little point here. King Mriga, to me, it was always curious how they get the opportunity to see the Lord, be right in there in Vrindavan, Dwarka, in his pastimes, and yet leave. But they're not leaving. It's never over. It's always progress. It's always, bhakti is always progressing. Just like I was just reading in Nectar of Instruction, in the third verse, Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada has this one sentence that is one of my favorite sentences in all of his books. And it is, bhakti is so potent that once having begun, one is forcibly dragged to ultimate success. Hari Ram, right? So it's so potent. Bhakti is so potent. So King Nriga got the seed of pure bhakti from that well-wishing of the well-wishes of that devotee, and that sprouted in his heart to such a point that manifests here in the pages of Bhagavatam. Okay, he's there, he's seeing Krishna, but there's more that will develop, you know, that will be explained later on. Hare Krishna. That's what I have to say. I think I had more things to say, but they fell out the back part of my brain. Hare Krishna. But if you have any comments or corrections. Yeah, but what was it you were supposed to remind me? I think that was it. I did. I told you. Thanks. Madam Atiji.
One question to my mind about these Brahmins. I'm thinking about what Ranga was saying yesterday. Krishna is very kind to the Brahmins, and certainly with this story, we understand. Get some understanding the difference between Brahmins and Brahmin Vaishnavas, you know. But yet, I understand that Krishna is very kind, or he wants us to worship the Brahmins. So, or he worships the Brahmins, and I'm assuming that includes all Brahmins. So, could you shed some light on that? Is it these Brahmins as well? I mean, I'm assuming they are.
Krishna's pastimes, nothing's happening by chance. You know, nothing's casual. These Brahmins aren't just there, you know, by chance. There are some particular great souls to help facilitate the pastimes. So I don't have a whole lot more understanding than that. You know, I mean, Krishna worships the Brahmins, but he's also not, he's not forced. What Krishna wants is love, bhakti. So if someone is mechanically or ritualistically following the processes of, you know, varna and ashram, then they're getting benefit, but the benefit will be when they actually get the association. Their real benefit, their real blessing will be when they actually get the association of a pure devotee and get that real seed of bhakti in their heart. So that might take a while, just like the example was given of the Brahmin and the cobbler. You know, that might take a while. And also another thing, too, is we have this conception that things that take a long time, we have a conception of time as a long, you know, like, oh my God. Just like, before I forget, I wanted to mention that I was reading in Garga Samhita last night also just to see if there was a little more insight on King Nriga. And it didn't directly tell the story of King Nriga, but it glorified this Nriga Kupa, the well that Nriga was in. It's a very sacred place in Dwarka. And if one goes there, one can be relieved of all kinds of sinful activities that one may have committed. And it said there that King Nriga was four yugas. I don't know if he was necessarily a lizard for four yugas, but he was punished for four yugas. And that was a little, you know. So we have this conception of like 20 minutes being a long time or whatever. But in this, what was he doing?
Kind of severe. I mean, that's my gut reaction. Just for by accident, some cow went into his other thing.
You're asking the wrong person, but there's somebody who'll explain it. But, you know, again, we're hearing a little bit of the story, and we're thinking that we understand the whole story. So there's, you know, Krishna's not unfair. He's not unkind. You know, if we, just like that sentence, that bhakti is so pure and potent that once having begun, we're ultimately dragged to complete success. So that can conjure up in the mind different things that drag to success. One can be pulled along, kind of like voluntarily pulled along, right? And one can be put their heels in the ground and hold on to the wall and, you know, not, you know, do all you can not to cooperate but still be dragged to success. So it might take a little longer. I don't know. Trivikram Prabhu?
So I was, like you said, to enhance the pastime, the Lord may allow these things to happen. Because by nature, Brahmins are supposed to be compassionate, forgiving, and so forth. And this was contrary to those natures with these two Brahmins. So, but to allow a pastime to take place, then sometimes these things happen.
Right.
Like you said, like Maharaj Parikshit, for example.
Exactly.
He put a snake on the rishi's neck. And usually, a pious king like him would not really do so. So to allow the pastime, the Lord sometimes make you act in a different way.
Right. Pango Inda Prabhu?
Very nice class, thank you. You always keep very nice class. I was remembering that Sanatan Goswami Pad in Dasami, he explains that I'm combining two stories. One story is Ramanujacharya's personal life when he was a young boy, his name was Lakshman. And one time, the king, Timikanta, he had a only daughter, princess, got hunted by a very dangerous ghost. You remember that story?
Mm-hmm.
You want to tell the story?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why? Because that's up over the phone yesterday, that where is the lizard idea comes from? What causes one to take lizard? Well, it's commented there that king was trying his best to get rid of the ghost from his only daughter. And he tried this one, that one, could not get it. Finally, he got Jadav Prakash, who is a Mayavadi, but he is a Brahman. So then when Jadav Prakash came in front of the girls, the ghost took the voice of the girl and talking in a big, loud man voice. Ha 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 ha, you cannot get rid of me. I'm not going to go. I know who you are. And Jadav Prakash said, what? The ghost is talking. Look, I'm going to chant mantra. I'll get you out of the body of this princess. He said, no, you're not going to get rid of me. I cannot get out from you by your mantra. I know who you are. You have no power. Nobody knew he was a Mayavadi and he has no power. So then asked, how do you know who I am? Oh, you were a lizard last life. And you were on the way to the temple where the Brahmana would walk by. One day out of compassion, one Brahman sprinkled little water on you. Because he sprinkled on you, and then you took birth in a Brahmana family. But you have no qualification of Brahmana. Mm-hmm. Just because you. So your power of chanting mantra, you cannot get rid of me from this girl. Then the king and everybody heard this and they're thinking, then, can you ask him that who will get rid of? Say, Ramanuj. He can get rid of. His mantra has a power. Oh, I'm scared. If he comes, I'll leave. So it was established. Then the commentary given, then the previous life, he was maintained by taking wealth from the Brahmana. As a result, automatically become a lizard. And Lord Krishna spoke this to Yudhishthira Maharaj, that anybody get his maintenance by the daughters, which is not supposed to be in Vedic culture, daughters supposed to go to live with the husband, and father should not be maintained by the daughters. But if he takes advantage of, you know, get maintained by the daughters, he has to become a cat next life. So he gives the whole, you know, I was making a chart one time. Anyway, the lizard is also like this. that if you get maintained by the Brahmana, then you be. So then the story comes where Ambarish Maharaj's case, Durvasa Muni went to the Lord at the end. First he went to Brahmaji. He said, "You are the head of the Brahmana, please protect me." And Brahmaji said, "I could not." Then he went to Shiva, "I am your expansion, please protect me." Lord Shiva could not say. Then he went to the milk ocean, Vaikuntha, and then he asked the Lord, "My Lord, Namo Brahmano Devaya, go Brahmano Hitayocha. You are the Brahman Dev, and you're supposed to protect me, I am the Brahman." He said, "You misunderstood the meaning of that sloka. You are addressing the Brahmana." So there Srila Sanatana Goswami Pad gave a comment. He says there are two types of Brahmana. One is Jato Siddha Brahmana, one is Sabhav Siddha Brahmana. Those who are Sabhav Siddha Brahmana, they are Vaishnav. Krishna always protect them, Krishna always count them, Krishna is always with them, and Krishna wants to purify this world through those Sabhav Siddha Brahmana. Jato Siddha Brahmana, sometimes Prabhupada translate as a Brahma Bandhu, a friend or a family of a friend of a Brahmana, not really quality of Brahmana. They are born. And this conflict is always going on, even till today in India. That the people who are not qualified, they think they are Brahmana because they are born. Now, in a one sense, to be honestly, what Prabhupada is explaining very thoroughly, that in order to be born in a Brahman family, I have to have a Brahmanical qualification. Some kind of Sattva-gun has to promote in me. Accidentally, like Jadava Acharya, that's also Sattva-gun, that the pure Charanamrita, you know, sprinkle came. So some Sattva-gun has to be there in order for me to take birth in a Brahmana family. But Prabhupada said this is a facility. Facility is given, that doesn't mean I am qualified. So that was the biggest mistake between the smart or Jato Siddha Vasi. So
okay. Thank you. Steve D?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out yesterday with Dravida, how long was King Urga a lizard? And you said multiple yugas, some sorts. Don't you know?
I read four yugas, but it didn't necessarily say that he was a lizard for four yugas, but he was four yugas suffering. Okay.
Wanted to have darshan of the Lord,
yeah.
And the Lord will only comes, you know, it's very, anyway, I'm sorry, I talk too much, but sometimes I can't hold it. On Prabhupada gave a very merciful, compassionate nature in one of the purport in, I think, 11 or 12, 10th canto. In the purport, Prabhupada writes that if we desire to become a parents of Krishna, then we may have to wait for another day of Brahma. Therefore, we should take advantage of this Sankirtan movement. Just by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we take shelter and we can become automatically in that Vatsala Rasa in one life or two life. So we should take advantage. But if we desire separately to become like this without this process, then we may have to wait 4 million years or maybe, who knows, 1 billion years or something like that. So Muchukunda, he also got curse in the he got the blessing of the demigod that they will meet, and he was lying down there sleeping, not dreaming, deep sleep, because he gave all these clause why he doesn't want dream or sleep. He wants deep sleep, so he doesn't remember, he doesn't have to feel hungry or something. Then, and it compared to King Niga, the same, 4 millennium they were lying down there, like a deep sleep. No memory.
Yuga,
no, that was, I read that from the Garga Samhita that was explaining that it was in four.
Yeah, because I was looking it up in.
Yeah, it's not in the Bhagavatam.
Yeah, because Prabhupada just says he was a long time.
A long time.
Book.
Yeah.
So maybe there's more to the story, like you were saying, because how could you be stuck in a well for multiple yugas if there's
creation? That's the question. We're going to let you research that.
Yeah, well,
scientific
But
the science,
when
we like the report in your doctorate, okay?
Oh, speaking
the scientific explanation of how one can be.
Speaking of doctorates, Martin Luther King actually got a doctorate.
Thank you. And from which school?
BU, Boston University.
Really?
Yeah.
I should have known. A good school. Okay.
But it wasn't. He wasn't a real doctor. He was just a PhD.
Oh, okay. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your attention and your participation. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai, Srila Prabhupada.